Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
We're back to bringing you that sweet, sweet Clippers news 5 times a week.
Hell yes.
And so today we're going to be kicking things off. If you haven't heard, I'm sure you have if you're listening to this podcast, but Trez, for some family reasons, had to leave the bubble, unfortunately. So we're going to be talking a little bit about sort of what the team's outlook kind of looks like in that scenario.
Timeline's a little odd to really kind of contextualize.
Yeah, we'll kind of explore when we could expect to see a return from him, as well as some of the options that we have without Trez, which sneak preview, they're limited.
Not a lot right now.
And then we've got a Presser Vibes segment for you today. There was some media availability this morning. Lou Williams spoke. Magruder was back on the podium.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Doc Rivers, of course. So we're going to break that down for you. And then we have some shavings. Landry Shamet is almost back,
so we believe.
And there's a few other things kicking around. So we'll open those up. Take a look. All that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah. So I want to give a shout out to Rock Auto as well.
Rock Auto.
The rockinest place you can buy auto parts.
The rockest.
Yeah, there you go. The rockest. It's like the Hard Rock Cafe, but with auto parts. So the title of this segment is No Trez, What Do? With a question mark. So we kind of talked about this yesterday. What's the actual kind of time? Like the earliest Trez can get back is like he's missing the first Orlando scrimmage.
Oh, he's like, missing all of the scrimmages. He's missing all of the scrimmages.
Which is pretty brutal, I think.
Yes.
From Doc has harped on these scrimmages that he really just wants to be called preseason games, which is great.
That was really funny.
That's a new Docism, is calling them preseason games.
Is preseason games, yeah. He also noted the uniforms were a big factor in why they were not scrimmages, but in fact preseason games.
Yeah, like he's focused on the right things, is what it seems like, which is good. But with a player like Trez, who kind of seemingly always stays in Trez shape and has Trez's motor and things like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little less kind of worried about, I don't know if game shape is the right word. I guess I'm worried about game shape. I'm more worried about kind of those knick-knack injuries.
Yeah, that's fair. So, I mean, I don't think that... I think that Trez, obviously, is a young guy, has an insane motor. So
and durable.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. But like you said with the injury thing, I think while you may feel ready to go, like your body isn't necessarily ready to compete at its highest level, especially if, you know, he's going to be missing... most likely at least a week of practices, 2 weeks of practices.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be around for those scrimmages games. He's fully not.
Yeah, like, yeah, for sure. It's
so
just not.
just to talk a little bit about the timeline, the day we're recording this is the 19th. You'll be hearing this on the 20th. But it's 10 days once you're back in the bubble, 2 negative tests.
Mm-hmm.
So if he were to come home tomorrow.
Which it doesn't
the
seem.
The day you'll listen to this, which seems unlikely from what we've seen thus far.
Yeah.
He would just barely have cleared waivers to make the first game against the Lakers.
Yeah. So there's a pretty real possibility, you know, he maybe misses that first Lakers game.
Yeah.
Which, hey, I'm not really too worried about that. And because, you know, we've
Doc's kind of, calling that one a scrimmage, though.
Yeah. Doc is like, oh, okay, this one's a scrimmage. And, you know, we've kind of, if you haven't been looking on Trez's media, he's just posted, you know, like him and his grandmother are going to get through this together. So, obviously, good vibes towards him, but there's no timeline. There is no timeline. I don't mean that in a negative way. There shouldn't be a timeline.
I like that point. Yeah, there shouldn't be a timeline. Ultimately, you know, we don't know the severity of the situation, but it seems like it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
If Trez
saying he's not built for something is an intense situation.
Yeah, and I think it just speaks to his conviction. A guy coming up on a big payday in a contract year. Obviously, some terrible family stuff coming up, and got to deal with that.
Yeah, we hope everything's good for him. And this kind of, you know, with no Trez for these preseason games, we're going to see a Joakim Noah starting, I'm assuming, because there's also no Zubats news.
Yeah.
Like, based on the information we have now, it's Joakim.
Yeah. It's fully going to be Joakim, unless they maybe try to work in Jamichael at the five.
Yeah.
Zoo news. In the starting lineup. No Zoo news. No Morris news, who is, you know, another candidate for a small ball five.
For sure.
We Do you think we see Patterson back in the starting lineup? You know, he was
he's always in
the starting lineup at the season opener. There's a possibility he could be back in that position. I guess I would be a little surprised if Doc jumped into starting Noah.
That's a good point. That's a good call.
Like, unless he was really impressed with what he saw through the scrimmages and practice and really thought that matchup was worthwhile.
Yeah.
I would just be a little bit surprised if we saw him thrust into a starting role.
Tough on the body, too.
Yeah.
Like, for everybody, let alone Noah.
For sure.
Who's coming back. I think Patterson starting that first game on Wednesday, that first preseason game, is a super good call. I think that's probably going to happen. And then, yeah, I mean, what I hope for, because, like, I've also just in terms of, like my expectations for what hope is have changed so much since the NBA has been in the bubble. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, I can no longer think about what should be happening, like, in terms of our centers and stuff. Like, it's just, like, look, I hope we put Jermichael out there. I hope he looks like he's definitely been watching that film from that first round last year. Like, I just hope it looks smooth-ish, you know? Like, I don't want Noah. I'm firmly on the now in these 30 seconds we've talked about it. Noah shouldn't start training just for his body. Patterson's going to be in shape. Patterson's always in shape.
I think Patterson is going to be good to go. And as far as the scrimmages, you know, I'm pretty laissez-faire about what ends up happening. Obviously with these, like, it's more about just getting guys some minutes.
Yeah.
It obviously doesn't even count towards your record, so I don't know why you would be worried about result.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest with you.
And Doc definitely won't be.
Doc definitely won't be. We'll probably see some lower rotation guys getting heavier minutes than they would normally. How worried are you, though, if we do not have Trez come the 30th? Does that start to get more real? Do you start
What's
to worry
then? What's
the
timeline for the games on the 30th? I mean, yes, it does start to get more real.
It's from 6 p.m. on the 30th.
Fuck. From a pure just health standpoint, that's where my brain's just going. Because of the year the Clippers have had, I'm just thinking about health. And I'm just like, the minutes load we put on Trez, what's his minutes load going to look like when he comes back into games? We can't play him 20 straight minutes after. I mean, I don't think we could have played him 20 straight minutes after the crazy hiatus we've already had. Now that he's had to leave the bubble and have a hiatus within the hiatus, dude, it might be like the first round of the playoffs is when we get to ramp up Trez's minutes, like, with his absence. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, definitely.
I think there is start to be some, like, worry, I guess. But with the way that the team has rolled with the punches so far, that gives me a little more confidence.
Yeah.
That things are going to be all right.
Yeah. So I guess that's just the most worrisome thing. It's just, I mean, getting how to reintegrate Trez after missing a bunch of time.
Yeah. Luckily, the pick and roll is never going to go away. That chemistry is never going away, which is good.
Yeah. I guess the other thing that worries us is, I mean, defensively, like, I don't really love Jermichael at the five. Like, I think especially in that late Lakers matchup, that's a terrible matchup for that lineup.
Yeah.
Pat, I guess I feel a little bit better at. You know, he's a big dude.
Yeah. The body, because, like, that's my thing. If we don't have Trez, I could see that first game against the Lakers. We're just going to put Noah and Patterson in. We don't care about the result. Let's annoy the hell out of AD.
Yeah.
Let's just body him and make him think about it when we have to face him in the playoffs, what it was like. I would love it if, you know, there's that famous clip of when Kawhi checks into that Heat Spurs final and LeBron's like, shit. Like, I would love it if Noah is such an annoying defender, and Patterson. I'd love it if one of those guys is such an annoying defender against AD in that first game, which we might see. It's a very possibility with how things are going. I hope we get kind of like a clip of him being like, damn it. Like, just his agitators.
Yeah.
I think that first game could really, I'm trying to put a lot of optimism on how the agitators are going to look.
That's a good call.
Because it's going to be
They have big. A little bit more power in a situation with no fans.
So much more power. But do you think, just real quick, do you think there's any chance Fee or Motley makes an appearance in the bubble? Just for a body?
I mean, at this point, like, they're not with the team.
Yeah, the timeline's so truncated.
So it's still, like, you're still just running into the same thing as the Trez thing. If they got them there tomorrow, they could be eligible for the first game, you know?
Yeah. He's definitely not doing anything, so he might be able to make it, but Motley's probably pretty busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know kind of what you think at Locked On Clips. What's going to happen with No Trez? What do? Definitely a bit of a... You know, I think Clipper Nation as a whole is doing its well to hold itself together right now. But I think we're gonna be okay. Coming up after this, we're gonna be talking the Sunday morning presser vibes. But first, we gotta give a shout out to Rock Auto.
That's right. You have to give a shout out to Rock Auto because they're a family business, family business. It's always family business. Serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet.
Mm.
Whether it's for your classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low.
Hell yeah.
And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much on the same parts?
No Trez, what do? Why spend much more?
Foolish. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right Locked On. And their How'd You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
RockAuto. Okay, welcome to Presser Vibes.
Hey. It's a vibe.
It's Presser Vibes. Full disclosure, we missed the 7 a.m. Saturday Clippers presser.
Yeah, it seemed maybe uneventful.
Scotch and cigars got in the way of that the night before, which is always eventful, which is a good time. The Clippers pressers have been pretty all over the place time-wise these last couple sessions. The one today started a little early. There was an hour intermission for the 6:30 a.m. one that was on Friday because, like, they couldn't find Doc. Like, we have to assume was because of the Trez situation.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out the logistics of that is what I would imagine.
Yeah, because, like, Trez, it was kind of announced left, like, right after practice.
Yeah.
Right then. So we think that was kind of a briefing thing. Clippers historically this last season, not a team really interested in giving out a whole bunch of information to the press in any way. But we had Lou, McGrudes, and Doc. Lou is mid-season chill.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the braids, which looks good. He posted a picture of him dunking. Not a video, though.
Love to see it.
Do you think the dunk shot went in?
Definitely.
Yeah, he was pretty... over the rim.
I don't think he would share one if he didn't make it.
Yeah, he's a real one. He would not. That's true. Lou spoke on, you know, helping his community, the initiatives he started. And you had a really interesting note on this that we can talk about after this. He talked about there's a quote from him. There's a young lady in Atlanta. She takes not abandoned food, but she takes food from different restaurants, different markets, different grocery stores that go unused. And she puts together basically care packages for the homeless and the less fortunate. Lou has put some money behind that initiative. He also put money behind an initiative called ATL is Ready for Action. They get behind protests, they get behind police brutality issues, and they tackle those things. So he got behind that initiative as well as, you know, the $25,000 bail fund for Atlanta protesters. He had a smart comment about how, like, the people he's with and the circle he works with, they didn't feel that he was best used, like, out there marching, but he felt stuck, which I think that was a very, like, I think a lot of people are like, how can I help? I feel
relatable.
Stuck.
Yeah, very relatable sentiment.
But it was good to hear him talk about that. But you had a great kind of take on how Lou's been doing his giving back.
Oh, I mean, I just think that it's super positive that he is focusing his kind of efforts locally.
Keeping it local.
I think, you know, especially someone of his stature, I think that really goes a long way and encourages people in, I don't know, their local, I mean, their community and stuff like that.
It's what's, you know, it's one of the big discussions right now about everything is local communities having help from local people.
Yeah.
From people who live there and actually understand what's happening within those areas. So Lou is continuing his all good guy COVID tour, I would say. Hasn't stepped foot wrong. He was also talking about him and Reggie in the same lineup. And he had a pretty, he had a nice quote. He talked about some of the advantages of playing with Reggie. And he said, you know, I get an opportunity to play off the ball. Reggie's a playmaker. I'm a playmaker. That gives us two guys that can put points on the board. Obviously, he's going to be a better defender than I am on the defensive end. So it was kind of funny to hear him be like, okay, yeah, he knows that Reggie's a better defender for points.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's, you know, it's like, I always like when someone who, like, maybe has a detriment in their game, doesn't think that they don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be so weird if Lou was like, I'm actually a pretty good defender. Or like something like at an NBA level. But no, there was a bunch of Reggie Jackson talk about him kind of playing off the ball. Doc talked about it. It was funny. Doc broke down how much Lou really used to have to do when he was the one on that bench. Like, he was like, he touched on Lou used to have to bring the ball up, get everyone into their sets, then pass it off to get it back to have to score.
Yeah.
When things weren't going wrong. So it's like, The Reggie signing is, I mean, it's just so wild how good of a signing that still is.
It's a textbook new Clippers move.
Good call. Yeah. You find a guy who maybe, you know, didn't have as much, wasn't in as a position to succeed as much in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And you put him next to Lou.
Yeah.
Like, who is, it's also a testament to how good Lou is and how he got us through this, you know, pre-actual other point guard on the second unit phase.
100%. 100%.
Doc also said, this was an interesting quote about Joakim. He was asked what they need from Joakim, and he said, we don't know what we need from him yet. And I'm like, I feel like we do know what we need, which is...
just minutes at the five.
Just minutes at the five. Like, we literally just need that right now. Doc's talked about those new wrinkles that he's kind of added. And I think in that last segment we kind of talked about, like... you know, Trez being gone, how that affects. I guess one of the positives you could see it is that it forces Doc to try some of these new wrinkle ideas.
Yeah, for sure. For better or worse. but yeah, I guess I was a little bit surprised about the Joakim thing, because I feel like we're kind of ponging back and forth. And the information that we're receiving that he will be playing, he's really more there for moral support. Like, there's like a just kind of a range of things going on there. And I guess, I mean,
yeah,
truly the answer lies somewhere in between.
Yeah, because it got brought up again about how Joakim's going to be great for Zoo and stuff. And I'm like, look, I'm loving all this Joakim and Zoo talk. I haven't seen them together yet. So it's hard for me. The more it gets talked about, the more I'm like, great, but we have no idea when Zoo's going to be back there.
Yeah.
So it feels a little like, not lip service, because it's a very true thing that's going to happen, but like, I guess I don't know what else they're supposed to talk about, really. Magruder also spoke. Ronnie Magruder's working with Lethal Shooter, famed shooting coach that Lakers fans hate.
Which, A, terrible name. Why would you make that your name?
Yeah, why would you make
that? Hey, Shooter McGavin. That's hilarious.
Yeah, maybe not Lethal Shooter. Murderous Shooter.
Terrible.
Two taps to the head Shooter. but I like seeing Magruder kind of like doing the most to work on his game. He knew there was a problem. Because he didn't work with Lethal Shooter before this. He actually mentioned that him and Lethal Shooter's brother went to high school together.
Huh.
So like, there's this, like, I like seeing Magruder be like, I'm gonna work on this shit, like, let's get it figured out. He also mentioned,
did he go by Lethal Shooter in high school?
Probably not. I hope not. He also talked about enjoying practicing with Noah, doing him bringing former defensive player of the year energy.
Yeah,
that's where I think Joakim is, like, I think one of the big reasons we brought Joakim in was to make practices more intense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that would make sense. Doc kind
of talks about that sometimes, about how, like, not dogging it in practice, but, like, sometimes practice intensity is something Doc gets upset about.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And having Joakim there, I think, truly makes it so there's no lull in practice intensity.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
Any other notes from the press you want to talk about?
No.
It was pretty chill.
Yeah, it was pretty chill. Not a whole lot of new information coming out.
No presser on Monday when you're listening to this.
Yeah. Excited to see, I don't know. I'll be excited to see what the vibe of the team is like after the first scrimmage.
Yeah. And like, the vibe on the Monday or the Tuesday presser is going to be cool, 'cause usually it's three on and then a day off. So yeah, the day before game vibe is going to be good. Coming back for this, we're gonna be talking Shamet almost out of quarantine and, some shavings.
All right. So, we're back. Landry posted a photo saying that quarantine is almost over.
He looks like such a teenager in the photo, because he's like squinting and he's like, it's very clearly like, I don't want to be here anymore vibes.
Yeah.
Which I like to see. I'm glad he's not too comfortable in quarantine. That'd be rough. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, he tested positive on July 4th. It's, you know, right at that 2-week mark. How is his prep going to be different compared to everyone else? Like, does he just need to get into, like, just getting shots up, truly?
I would imagine. I mean, I think it's going to help him to play. I'm sure his cardio is still in great shape, but he another one of those guys who, like, when things are going well, he is, he does have quite a bunch of up and down kind of movement.
Yes.
So I think that it's still going to be essential for him to be there for the scrimmages. Like, I guess I would, I'd be more concerned about him missing the scrimmages.
Really? Super good call.
Than Trez.
I'd agree with that as well, actually.
Just because I think it's just going to be huge for just establishing a rhythm again. And, you know, given some of the vagueness and the uncertainty about what our lineup is going to look like come the 30th, I mean, he might need to be ready to step into a bigger role than he's had all season, which I don't doubt that he's capable of. Obviously, we've seen him do it before, but I think that some time with the team is going to help.
Yeah, there could be some early hiccups. And Shamet is a player who, like, if there's early hiccups, people are going to harp on him.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be unfair because the guy is going to look off a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to happen. Hoping he gets into the bubble soon. Hoping he leaves for the bubble soon. I'd assume it happens. I hope to see a plane pick from him later today on this Sunday that we're recording this.
Yeah.
Like, that would be great. Quick follow-up, because I'm sure the listeners have been wondering about it. Has League Pass gotten back to Will?
No word on League Pass. I mean, the assumption is still that there won't be blackout dates, and I'm going to be able to watch Clippers games, even living in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Which, look, talk about a revolutionary idea.
So, League Pass, huge FU from me. You suck.
The U.S. League Pass site. The European one got back to you.
Oh, yeah. The international site is way better.
Yeah.
What else is new, you know?
Talk about that. Yeah, let's get into that. But Wednesday scrimmage will be televised on a local Florida Fox Sports feed.
Yes.
So for those of you who get local Florida channels here in Los Angeles, we could go. It's at noon. There's definitely going to be streams of it. If you know how to stream, you will be in good shape.
Yep.
If you don't know how to stream,
Google it.
It's really not that hard. But yeah, I'm excited. That's going to be at noon. We're definitely gonna do a stream just kind of after, just post game record, see what's going on with it.
Yeah.
This is kind of something we can talk about later in the week. Scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the Clippers coasting vibes have been in the regular season? That's been a big, like, Twitter topic, which we usually don't like to talk about, but
yeah. So I think there's definitely validity to that. I think that the coasting, we saw less of it, obviously, as we came into that all-star break, mostly.
mostly.
And we started to hit a stride a little bit more, obviously, in March before the shit, if you will.
That's a perfect way to put it.
But yeah, I think, like, the coasting, let's see, if it's on a scale of 10, I think we started out at maybe an 8.
Damn. Yeah, that's fair.
There were some coasts. Yeah. Coasts. I mean, the team was pretty, members of the team were pretty loud that was what they felt the vibe was.
For sure.
So, yeah. And I think that it's just difficult because there's so few games, but I think we might have to be okay with seeing a little bit more of that through definitely the scrimmages, more likely than not the first 8 games. Not the entirety of it, but
yeah,
I think that
first 4.
What's that?
First 4 maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll still stay above 500, but
yeah. Cuz there's going to be a ramp up period.
Yeah.
Where you're getting into when you're like, you want to be able to get to where you can kind of tease a little coasting, not coasting. And there's going to be Doc being Doc. There's going to be some quote unquote Doc games in these 8 games that are going to frustrate some people.
What do you mean? Just in terms of rotations?
Rotations, or? In terms of, well, because, like, we talked about how the score is definitely not going to be important in these scrimmages.
Yeah.
And in these, you know, maybe later in the 8-game regular season, if we're at 4-2 or like something like that, or like 3-3, like, and we have that, the 2-seed locked up, there's going to be some games where it's like, Doc, what are you?
Oh,
like,
if we have the 2-seed locked up, I think it's going to be,
who knows what's going to happen in those games.
Yeah.
I'd put us in scale of 1 to 10 for coasting. Yeah. Regular season, I'd go 8. There was a literal article that was written because of, Trez's comments about how things maybe weren't like as intense as they should be.
And I think that, to be fair, like, is a little bit by design. You had,
yeah, we had the luxury.
You had two major players whose first year on the team, they both were dealing with injuries.
Yeah,
and a immediately. Very, yeah, and a very long postseason for one of them. Yeah. So, like, I would say that eight, I mean, is pretty fair. Yeah. If you guys think we're being overly harsh, feel free to let us
know. Hey, yeah, and if we were I think we were coasting. I think we were 8 out of 10 coasting, and we were still the 2 seed, so it's good. it's a positive thing we coasted.
But looking at what that next gear could be for the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been one of those things I think that's obviously been pretty titillating for fans all season long.
That's the first time we've used that word on this podcast.
Hey, about time.
Quarantine. finally.
but I think, so the next gear is a little bit scary to me now, and not in the good way that I meant during the season where it's like, it's scary what the Clippers could be.
Yeah.
Now it's scary because it's like, who the hell is on this team right now?
Yeah, thinking about it with all the bodies we have, it's like, all right, so we got to see Joakim play.
Next gear is looking real scary.
Yeah, next gear is looking, yeah, the RPMs are a little different to figure out on that new next gear for sure. Anything else in shavings before we sign this thing off?
No, I think that does it. We're looking forward to keep bringing you all the news.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to no press availability tomorrow, but looking forward to those scrimmages.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to be recording Tuesday's episode with Lucas Hahn.
Hey.
Former host of this podcast and currently the site expert at 213 Hoops. Go give him a follow. I'm sure you follow him if you listen to this podcast. He's going to be on. We're going to be, you know, send us your questions. Tuesdays. We're going to be hyped on the Orlando scrimmage happening. It's going to be a good time. And then, of course, whatever else happens to now and then in Clipperland, hopefully some Shamit updates. But Will, where can these fine people find us?
Check us out on iTunes. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. It helps.
Yeah, leave a review if you want to.
Yeah, leave a rating or review. Let us know what you think. We'd love to read it. We're also on Spotify. We're on Amazon Podcasts.
Yeah, AmPods. ZonPods.
You can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Mm-hmm. It'll do it, probably.
It'll do it.
But yeah, as always, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.